Well, it's a pleasure to speak with you this morning and to follow this this discussion about emergency response all the way to reconstruction. Let's see if I can. I have no relationships to disclose. I'm a U.S. government federal employee. All right, let's begin with the. Can everyone hear me? Let's begin with the universal cycle of emergency management. You've seen different pictures of this from Amer this morning, but just quickly review. You know, the emergency is the emergency response is the immediate weeks following a natural or a humanitarian disaster, and then we move into the recovery phase. And the thing I want to talk about in recovery is that this is when things transition to try to get back to normal. It also creates a window of opportunity. There is often goodwill, international will, hosted by governments to help a country following a natural disaster. And Haiti, which I'm going to refer to throughout my talk, is a perfect example of that. One of the things that happened in Haiti was that there was an international commitment of over $10 billion to help Haiti build back better. And then the hard work begins, the reconstruction, when you move into that phase of multi-year commitment to try and assist a country or a country on its own works very hard to recover and rebuild a community and its infrastructure. And then preparedness or mitigation preparedness. In Haiti's case, there was very little of that with the exception of perhaps preparedness around hurricanes. So what was the state of affairs in health prior to the earthquake? There was really a limited cadre of public health professionals. There was a physician and nursing shortage throughout the country. There was a limited laboratory capacity beyond HIV testing and CD4 cell counts at the departmental level. And that was only present because of the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, which started there in 2003. There was very small clinical cadre linked to laboratory services. And then because it's relevant to the cholera situation in Haiti that I'll finish discussing, there was very low access to clean water and very, very low access to latrines and toilets. In fact, if you look at this graph here, you'll see that between 1990 and 2008, there was slow but steady access to an improved water source, which doesn't necessarily mean chlorinated water. But there was a decline in access to latrines and toilets. In fact, Haiti is the only country in the world over the last 20 years that has had declining access to latrines and toilets. And in the urban areas, it's around 17%. In the rural areas, even lower. So this was the presidential palace at the time of the earthquake. And you know, I highlight this because this was not only such a dramatic event, but it happened in downtown Port-au-Prince. The population of Haiti is around 10 million people. And about 3 million people out of those 10 million live in the Port-au-Prince area. So what happened in the emergency response phase? Several of my slides now are going to have the big bullets of what is the international response, and the sub-bullets will be examples from Haiti. So in the emergency response, the WHO health cluster initiated its coordinating role, and there were initial rapid assessments, and the priorities were identified for over 2.5 million people that were displaced throughout the country, and the bulk of them, about three-quarters in the Port-au-Prince area. They needed shelter, they needed clean water, they needed food, bed nets, and access to health care and medicines. They also had to gather available information. While there were previous targeted surveys, Haiti has a plethora of surveys that had gotten conducted and continue to be conducted throughout the country in a variety of disciplines. But there was also the CDC office, which stood up in 2002 to prepare for the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief. And that had an office staff of around 50 people, and there was a number of valuable pieces of information that we immediately had access to. And then there was also looking for surveillance for reportable diseases. There was truly no functioning reportable disease system in Haiti. So we worked with the ministry to build upon the PEPFAR, ART, and PMTCT program, which was electronically linked through all 10 departments at about 150 sites, to develop a national sentinel surveillance system for reportable conditions. The idea there was to get a background for burden of disease where we could see daily reporting on. And then in the recovery phase, look at incorporating laboratory confirmation into the National Sentinel Surveillance System for reportable conditions, and then to establish for the 2.5 million people living in internally displaced person camps, working with a large number of international organizations and NGOs, whether they were NGOs that were international or whether they were in-country NGOs, to develop an internally displaced sentinel surveillance system for reportable conditions in these crowded environments. To do that, to link up the laboratory testing, we started with a number of rapid diagnostic tests. Now, on the day of the earthquake, 27 of 28 ministries collapsed in the country, including the Ministry of Health. Fortunately, the National Public Health Laboratory was at a distant site from the downtown ministry, and it did not collapse. And it had been built by the Taiwanese with appropriate rebar, et cetera, about 10 years before. And that became the new Ministry of Health for reportable and communicable diseases. So there we could actually do a solid training and even begin a solid auger microbiologic training. And then our goal then was to shift our focus of technical assistance towards the Ministry of Health and the National Public Health Laboratory. Around reconstruction, we need to use the situation, information, and surveillance data to help us determine what our priorities should be. Fortunately, I mentioned that there were roughly $10 billion committed by the international community to help Haiti in their time of crisis. The U.S. government was also a big contributor, and CDC received a substantial proportion of supplemental funds to help Haiti rebuild its public health infrastructure. And for this reason, the Health Systems Reconstruction Office was opened. We wanted to develop a long-term plan in coordination with many, many international partners, as well as the government of Haiti. MSPP, or the Ministry of Health, the National Public Health Laboratory, USAID, and PAHO were the main international players, if you will. But there is an incredible number of international and intrinsic organizations that really needed to play a role in our long-term development of plans. And then we worked with a number of subject matter experts inside and outside the U.S. government to develop our long-term strategy and ensure that our foundation was capable of sustaining a long-term response. And Haiti will not be rebuilt in 1 or 2 years in terms of public health reconstruction. So the rest of my talk, I'm going to be using examples of the World Health Organization's building blocks for what is health system strengthening: leadership, governance, financing, information systems, service delivery, drugs, medical technologies, and human resources. Let's talk first about leadership and government. Well, we needed to work closely with the Ministry of Public Health and develop a long-term public health strategic plan. We also need to provide technical assistance for its ongoing implementation. Prior to the earthquake, CDC had two direct hire staff and about 45 locally employed staff to work on PEPFAR. And we now have about 10 CDC staff and about 70 locally employed staff working on this larger program in direct cooperation and in some cases co-location with the Ministry of Public Health. A cornerstone of that is to build tomorrow's public health practitioners for Haiti. They're most of the Ministry of Health's leadership, which just changed 2 weeks ago, was leadership that comes from the clinical care services. There really aren't trained epidemiologists or laboratory public health practitioners that have led the leadership. So the Field Epidemiology Training Program is a time-tested program that CDC has worked with ministries of health with around the world. And the idea is to have a 2-year didactic course that would train about 20 public health practitioners in a cohort every year. And then in the future, perhaps a generation from now, where they would be the leadership of public health. So we were able to find two Haitians with enough background training in public health that they could start a 2-year program. We sent them to our program in Guatemala as a regional training program to get the first two-year trainees started. And then we developed in Creole as well as in French a number of beginner EDME and advanced courses. We've held a number of trainings thus far, and we think we have a class for next year that will have 20 trainees in a full 2-year curriculum. Around human resources, there's clinical management of cholera training of trainers that we led from 20 trained clinicians in how to manage cholera to 500 clinicians trained in the management of cholera in November of last year within the first 3 weeks of the cholera outbreak. And we also trained community health workers, over Over 10,000 community health workers have now been trained about household water treatment and to ensure that oral rehydration salts are used in the home. And a number of laboratory trainings around those rapid diagnostic tests that we spoke of earlier. In service delivery, there's a critical need around expanded program on immunizations and the introduction of new vaccines. To make it short, the last two birth cohorts have had about 20% coverage around measles. So in March of this 2012, there will be a large catch-up campaign for measles, rubella, and polio, and then we will, thanks to the contributions of co-funding from Gavi, begin introduction of pentavalent rotavirus and pneumococcal vaccines. We also continue to support and maintain cholera treatment facilities, improve TB, HIV services, and the blood bank collapsed on that day, and we have groundbreaking work to rebuild the National Blood Bank. Around drugs and medical technologies, the supply chain, I'm sure you all saw the stories on CNN post-earthquake. We're doing what we can with the nation's procurement system and to work with supply chain management system to use the PEPFAR distribution system for cholera commodities and to have SEMS train what's called PROMESS, or the national system, to build capacity over the next 10 years to take full ownership of supplies and distributions. I've talked about co-funding with Gavi for the introduction of vaccines, and in next month we'll begin mass drug administration with diethylcarbazine for the elimination of lymphatic filariasis. Port-au-Prince has never been tackled. Finally, financing. The ministry has an influx of funds, and we have a number of cooperative agreements, interagency agreements, and trainings on how to have fiscal management responsibility at the Ministry of Public Health. We also have seen funds coming in from the government of Brazil, and we're trying to make sure that we work in a collaborative way to meet the gaps that each government has in its plan to assist Haiti. And in the Global Fund application, we've worked to help Haiti's Ministry of Public Health deliver that. In information management systems, we need monitoring, evaluation, and surveillance. Surveillance, I talked about the National Surveillance System for Reportable Diseases, the CAMP system, and now the Cholera Surveillance System is what I'm going to close with three slides. It was just a little bit over a year ago that the Ministry of Public Health was alerted about increased cases being reported of acute watery diarrhea from the Artibonite and central departments. There had been no history of epidemic cholera in Haiti for at least 100 years. So within 24 hours, a Ministry of Public Health team with CDC technical advisors went to the field and performed rapid tests and saw that there was evidence for Vibrio cholera, and then they were able in their own media, in their own laboratory, to confirm late in the evening on the 21st that there was Vibrio cholera, toxigenic Vibrio cholera in Haiti. We knew based on water and sanitation indices that I reviewed for you earlier that this was going to be a horrendous outbreak. And perhaps with connotations for the entire Caribbean. This is the first morning after confirmation. We could see that the number of cases were reported up and down the Artibonite River. We would not have had this data had we not invested in reportable disease system after the earthquake in the preceding 10 months. And this is 1 week shy of a full 1 year of data on the cholera outbreak in Haiti. This is the largest outbreak ever recorded, and because of the magnitude of the reporting, it's also the most deadly that's been documented. What we can say on this is that from October through about January, you can see that there were an incredible spike of cases as it raced through all 10 departments of the country over a four-week period. And you can see that the case fatality ratio in red or in green was extremely high, up around 4-5% in the early months of month and a half of the outbreak. But it got down below 1%, and that was due to the concentrated efforts around training and chlorination of water. And to this day, without investments in water and sanitation system, we expect cholera to be endemic in the country. But the training and chlorination of water at the home makes it possible to keep the case fatality ratio below the international standard of 1%, and that's our immediate goal. But what is the long-term solution for cholera in Haiti? We really believe that it's investment, like true investment in WASH, to bring Haiti to the 21st century along with the rest of its neighbors in the Caribbean. Different estimates have been pledged by the Inter-American Development Bank, the Prime Minister, and World Bank of around $1 billion. We know that this can be done. It was done throughout Latin America after the 1990s epidemics of cholera that hit in most recent years, and now cholera has gone from those countries. So as we move forward, we're looking to work in the Horn of Africa and South Sudan and continue to be wise managers with the Ministry of Public Health and the funds that have been committed to them for reconstruction in Haiti. Thank you very much.